morning. Man, it is good to see you here. And I know it's a little bit cold out there. This is the weather that I was hoping we would get in December. However, God chose February. And he decided to do it on a Sunday. I can tell you this. There's something very beautiful about the snow when it falls. Something that is uncommon. Something that especially here in Lubbock, we don't see that much of. And one of the things it reminds me of, and it's something we're going to talk about today, it's just like if the Holy Spirit was falling upon you. And that you find yourself in the presence, and keep in mind, this morning when I was driving, it was just raining, right? Because I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, I run 2 miles, and then I feed the hogs. Okay, I just lied, and that's not a good thing to do, is lie when you're in church, so forgive me. No, I was driving this morning to go get the donuts, because we know if I don't go get the donuts, there's going to be a problem. And there was no snow, it was just rain, and it was just kind of raining a little bit, and it was nice, but man, when that snow hit, and those flakes were thick, and I don't know if you saw that, man, it just changed the atmosphere. We were still in the same place, but the atmosphere changed. And I'm here to tell you, it's like that with the Holy Spirit. It's when we're in that point that we're actually able to experience and be still and let the Spirit come upon us, that we are changed right where we are. That we don't have to go somewhere to be changed. God actually will come to us. But the sad thing about it is sometimes we just get too busy complaining about our circumstances and we don't hear the Spirit. We miss the opportunity for the Spirit to pour itself upon us. Notice this. It says if what Pastor Allen read, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is very important, and here's the reason why. God's gospel has always been a gospel that calls us to repentance. When John the Baptist came, he spoke, "Repent now, for the kingdom of heaven is near." That message has never changed. Now, if you're like me, and you may have been wayward in your life, one or two of us, you found that you have to repent quite often. Well, know this. We can no longer look at repentance as a bad thing, but as a gift. As a gift that when we go before the Spirit and we repent, that just like that snow, the Spirit comes upon us. And Scripture tells us, man, when He forgives us, He takes our sin as far as the east is from the west. The depths of the ocean, He remembers no more. And how funny it is, it also says, it makes us as white as snow. I'm not saying that God favors my sermon today, but... okay, that's a joke too. Okay, now listen. We're going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 because here's a portion that I think we need to hear. Understand, let's go ahead and follow this. Man, we're going to mess up. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Right? And sometimes we mess up without knowing it. Sometimes we know what we're doing. But if we pretend that we aren't that person, then that John, 1 John 1, 9, 1-8 says that, man, we lie to ourselves. Right? Now, hear me on this because this is going to be some truth that's going to be thrown right at you. You don't have the right to blame your sin on somebody else. Can't blame it on the devil. Can't blame it on your parents. Can't blame it on your work. Can't blame it on the weather. It's you. And it's me. And to be able to sit there and have the freedom to say, Lord, I messed up. Lord, I messed up. And not receive punishment, but receive grace and instruction to become different. But a lot of times in our church, not just this one, but as a whole, we like to get to the repentance part and leave it alone. Understand, repentance takes that weight off of us, but we have to take something with us as we go, and it needs to be the Spirit. What we've done in the past is we've made repentance more like a drive-through. You know what I'm talking about, because we all like to go to the drive-through. We get this all the time. Now, what are you cooking tonight? I don't know. How about Fazoli's? Right? Cooking means you go pick it up and pay for it. We go into the line and we're waiting for somebody in front of us to get done with their repentance. And then we pull up and we expect God to go, yes, how can I help you? And we go, yeah, I'd like to apologize for this, this, and this, and this. And then God says, grace is forgiven. I love you. I'll meet you right where you are. Pull up and I'll give you some breadsticks. Breadsticks. That young man's like, I love this church. Donuts and breadsticks. Hallelujah. And then we pull up. We get our blessing from God. We get our forgiveness from God. And then we go back about our business. And we wonder why we're never changed. Oh man, we wonder why we don't feel the true evidence of God's Holy Spirit within us. In fact, what we do is we start chasing emotion. Man, hear me on this. Do not let your emotion determine if the Spirit is real or not. Your emotions will lie to you. Has anybody ever had that happen to them? Your emotions can lie to you. But I will tell you this. When you start getting involved in the Spirit, guess what follows? Your emotions to the Spirit. I've had emotions drive me to panic. Circumstance happens, out of your control. You start panicking. You start crying out, God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I don't know what to do. And then what we do is we start thinking what feels best to us must be right. And that's usually wrong. When God says, be still and know that I'm God. Well, when you're still, and you realize that the Lord is there, you begin to feel the Spirit of peace to where you're no longer panicking on your circumstance. Doesn't mean your circumstance has changed. Can I get an amen? Amen. Man, you got to understand that. Doesn't mean your circumstance has changed, but you're changing. Just like we're still in Lubbock, Texas, but it's snowing today. And we can take a moment and be still before the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, and understand what is happening. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. And the reason why the church in Corinth needs a letter from Paul is because they're arguing with one another. They're trying to determine who you should listen to. Do you listen to Paul? Do you listen to Apollos? Do you listen to Barnabas? Do you listen to CNN? Do you listen to Fox News? Do you listen to the radio? Who are you listening to in order to get your direction? Well, one of the worst things we do is we listen to each other. Right? And isn't it awesome that we can find friends that will agree with whatever we say? Not true friends. One of the best friends I have, I can call my friend and just vomit on him. Bleh. You, this is going on, this is going on. I can't stand. I don't know why God would do this, and I can't believe that, and blah, blah, blah. And then my friend will say, you got a gratitude problem. No, I need you to be compassionate about how I feel. See it the way I see it. Say the things I need to say to where I'm justified. My friend says, oh, absolutely not. You're a fool. God is not. Therefore, vomit on me, yes. But when you're done, get back to doing what you're supposed to do. Get within the Spirit. And know that He's God. Man, right now, we're going to become into a more unsettling time in this country. In this world. Man, if you thought when you were like, I'm old now, okay? I know you don't. I know many of you think I'm in my 20s. I'm not. And I've seen some things. I've seen it to where, listen, the world has always said the end is near and it's going to happen. The way of life is going to change. It happens every generation, every year. And I've come to this determination. I will no longer hear the world and listen to its panic. I know that God is real and I trust Him. Now I'm going to say some really unpopular things that are probably going to get me letters by pastors. That's fine. Yes, God is coming back. Can I get an amen? Amen. But you do not know how. You do not know when. Oh, no, Pastor. I've done some studying, and there's a pre-tribulation that you're not aware of because you're not spiritual. Oh, but then somebody says, no, 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 there's post-tribulation. And somebody says, no, 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 there's mid-tribulation, right? So which one are you? Which one do you believe? And I'm here to tell you, I don't know. I just know He's coming. And when He comes, who am I going to be? Am I going to be a person of emotion panicking? Or am I going to be like the person in the midst of snow in Lubbock, Texas that is changed to a moment where they say, praise the Lord. God, you do what you have in mind. Father, in fact, when you come back, may you find me being obedient to your spirit. Oh, but what about this? What about this? I don't care. I just don't. I'm more worried about being about my Father's business than trying to figure out my Father's business. Because it's His, not mine. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And so it is with me, brothers and sisters, when I come to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except this, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord Jesus. However, it is written, listen to this, this is awesome. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. Wow. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit, listen to this, searches all things. Even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world. Give me an amen. Amen. But the Spirit who is from God. So that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that comes from the Spirit. The Spirit of God, they don't understand or accept them. They actually consider them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are not discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments, for who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? Listen to this. But we have the mind of Christ. This is huge. And if you're not a scholar, you're really going to like this. If you didn't do well in school, you're really going to like this. Because when we talk about God's wisdom, it's not man's. But what happens is man starts getting involved and says, I know the wisdom of God. Guys, you need to hear this right now. Do you believe in the Spirit of God? It's not a spirit that panics. It's not a spirit that acts quickly, because some of us have been like, come on, Spirit. It is a spirit that channels you into the presence of God. Not yours, God's. And what happens is we start saying, this is what you should do if you're a Christian. I'm here to tell you right now, the greatest thing I could do as a pastor is not tell you what the Spirit is saying, but to help you hear the Spirit for yourself. Pastor Travis, understand, I don't know if I'm hearing God or not. Has anybody ever felt that? Right? I mean, it would be so much better if God would send text messages. Right? It'd be like, bleep, don't do that. Oh, whatever, okay. But the truth is, His wisdom's not of the world. Notice what Paul said. Paul said, I didn't come to you acting smart. I came to you with simple words, because it's not about being great in the human world. It's about being nothing so that the Spirit can become everything. And when the Spirit becomes everything, then listen to me. You have the mind of Christ. You're not going to think as the world thinks. In fact, you'll start rebuking yourself. Oh, man. That's always a fun thing when the Spirit starts rebuking you, right? And you can't get away from it. Somebody cuts you off, you pop off on them, and the Spirit's like, hey, stop that. And you're like, did you see how they were driving? And the Spirit's like, it's not about them. It's about you. Man, we got to be a people that long to hear the Spirit of God, but my question is, who are you listening to? Do you listen to your emotions? Do you listen to people that don't listen to God? Do we listen to the world's elect? Think about the world's elect. Listen to me. If you're getting moral advice from a sports star, stop. Right? If you're getting moral advice from a politician, stop. Listen to this. If you're getting moral advice from someone who always talks and doesn't listen, stop. Oh, but Pastor, I don't know. That's why I come to you. Travis, you're the pastor. You tell me what God says. Uh-uh. Let's go to Him together until you learn to hear Him. Guys, you need to hear this. It's a journey. It's a journey that we all need to be on. And there's times you're going to feel something, and I can't explain it, right? Because it's not of the world. If I could explain it, it wouldn't be of God. But there's something within you, and you're like, I got to stop, or I need to do this. And then you do it, and there's no evidence, right? Like, God doesn't let confetti go off and go, congratulations, you heard the Spirit. No, but you realize something within you is changed. I usually react different. I usually get mad, and now before I can get mad, God's saying, be calm. In fact, when I wake up in the morning, and if I have my time with God, and I'm in the Spirit, and the Lord says these words to me, Travis, today I don't want you to get angry. What is He telling me? I'm going to have a day full of things that are going to make me angry. Travis, today, I want you to be still and know that I'm God. Oh, I'm just going back to bed. I do not want to go through this today. God's like, no, I know what's coming. You don't have to know. And here's the reason why, guys, hear this, please. Because if you're in my presence, I got you all the way to death. I even got you beyond death. You don't have to be afraid anymore. This world can absolutely blow up, and you get to smile as you blow up with it. Well, what are we going to do? Man, I'm just going to do what the Spirit is calling me to do. And hear me, the Spirit is not this weird thing that you have to figure out a formula to hear. And the Spirit, a lot of times in my life, does not agree with the way I think. So a lot of times if I have an idea and I go, this is God, it's usually my ego. But I had to learn. And that's the beautiful thing. Jesus says this in Scripture. He says, my sheep hear my voice and they know it. And every mother in here, you know what I'm talking about. Every father in here, you can be on a playground full of snotty-nosed kids running around, but you know your kids cry. It calls you. Why? It's because you have been there. You have heard your child. You know when they're hurt, and you also know when they're whining. And then you say the things you swore you would never say that you heard your dad say. Stop crying or I'll give you a reason to cry. Because you know that, right? And that's what the Spirit does. The Spirit searches all of our motives. And if we sit there and go, no, Lord, I'm not the problem. I'm not a sinner. We're lying to ourselves because the Spirit will convict us. Or if we sit there and say, Lord, it's not my fault. It's their fault. The Spirit comes in and says, no, no, no. To the point it gets annoying. Because listen, the Spirit of God loves you so much. It will expose you to save you. Not expose you to break you and to hurt you, but to expose you to save you so that you and I no longer listen to the world. We are secure in listening to the Spirit. One of the things that I've seen in my life is somebody said, well, I'm Spirit-filled. Please don't declare that. You have no authority to declare that you are Spirit-filled. Because if the Spirit is in you, then you are nothing. He is everything. So, man, I don't want to be super spiritual. And this is what Paul's saying here. I didn't come in here trying to tell you who's super spiritual to teach you to be a super Christian. No, I came to tell you to surrender, be still, be quiet, and follow Christ crucified. Other than that, you're just chasing rabbits. Oh, but Pastor, did you not hear what's happening in California? We need to do that here. No, no, no. You know why? What's happening in California, praise God. If God's doing His thing, Lord, do all You have in mind there. I am not dogging it at all. But Lord, I need to be listening to what You want to do right here in my life. Who I need to be here in Lubbock, Texas. Because Your presence is not a destination. It's a surrendered heart. It's a dying to self. It's being able to stop listening to the world and listen to the Spirit. Once again, who do you listen to? Man, and I've done this. Guys, I've said, you know what, Lord, I want to hear You. So all I'm going to do is listen to Christian radio. And I'm not dogging Christian radio. It's great. It's uplifting. But a lot of times you're appealing to your emotion. When there must be a time when you sit before the Lord and listen. Do we understand how uncomfortable silence is?
Like that?
Dude, we didn't even make 10 seconds. We didn't even make 10. And some of you are like, I'm about to grab my phone and look some TikTok. We don't like silence. We don't like silence because we're left to ourselves. And I'm telling you right now, one of the greatest tricks of the enemy is to get your brain so busy and your life so busy and you worried about things that don't matter. There's no way you're going to be able to sit in the presence of the Spirit. Or if you do go to the presence of the Spirit, you won't shut up. I've done that so many times. Holy Spirit, come here, listen. I don't know where you've been, but man, you got to start doing some stuff. And the Holy Spirit's going, Travis, just be in my presence for a minute. Okay, I will. Are we done? Can we get back to what I was talking to you about? And the Holy Spirit's going, number one, nothing in your life has caught me off guard. Number two, I love you so much, I will rebuke you. I will change your behavior. And number three, there's nothing better than you can do for your life than to sit in the presence of God and listen. It's coming, guys. It's coming. Chaos is coming. It's already here. And here's the sad part. Let me get some more letters. A lot of the chaos is going to come from the modern church. It just is. There's going to be people that are highly respected in the church that are going to be screaming for you to think one way, and it's their way. And they're going to declare that it's what God wants you to think. And man, you need to be able to hear the Spirit for yourself. You need to be able not to be measured by panic, not to be pulled by emotion, but to absolutely be steadfast, knowing that it doesn't matter as long as I'm in that snowy presence of the Spirit of God. Right where I am. I saw this movie one time, and I don't remember the name of the movie, but it had to do with a guy who was a fighter, and he got beat, and one of his trainers said, "You need to go away because your mind is all messed up and you're panicking." And so he goes to this farm, and in this farm he's having to plant things, and he's looking at all the people, and they don't talk. They just plant, and everybody has their amount that they have to plant, and when you're done planting, you're done for the day. And so what does he do? The first day he starts, he's looking at him, and he's going, "These guys are slow." So he plants his fast, he's done, none of it takes, because he was too fast. And he couldn't understand why he was failing, and yet they were succeeding. And one day, as he's out there with them, he saw that they were planting. And as they're planting, they're letting the soil move so that it takes root. You can't rush it. And he sat there and he's like, "How can they live this way?" And all of a sudden, the wind blew. And when the wind blew, every farmer that was planting stood up, took a deep breath, and relaxed. And then went right back. And man, that thing taught me something. Jesus has never been one that went, "Hurry, hurry, hurry, hurry. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. Hurry, hurry, hurry." But that's what the world does. Jesus is always, "I got you." Man, he said, "When I leave, God's going to send you the Spirit. And that Spirit is going to live within you." And I wonder how many times the Spirit has pulled up a table and a chair for me to say, "Travis, just sit with me for a minute. But I'm too busy. I'm too fearful." Well, you want to know the irony of it? Listen to this. I'm too busy studying for God that I don't have time for God. And I've come to those rebukes. "Travis, you don't know me. You know my scripture, but you have not stopped to visit and to sit with me. But God, it's uncomfortable." Yeah, you know why it's uncomfortable? Because it's not of this world. It's not. It's something supernatural. And the cool thing about it is when you get it, you start getting into a habit of it. You create a discipline of it. I'm not there yet. Just know that. But when you get to that discipline of it, guess what? Satan can't throw panic your way anymore. Because if he throws panic, what are you going to do? "I got to go talk to Jesus. Give me a minute." Spirit, rain down on me. Bring your peace. Not about me, it's about you. Direct me as I go. I had one person ask me this week, "Pastor, do we pray for dogs? Because mine's sick." And I said, "Absolutely. We just don't pray for cats." I'm joking. I got two babies over there looking at me like, "Oh, ho, ho, ho." No, I'm joking. Here's the deal. Yeah, we pray for them. God says, "Cast all your cares upon me." Why does he say that? Because he knows what your heart needs. And that's why he says, "Give me your cares. Give me your fear. Give me your anxiety. Give me your worry. And I will give you my peace. And I will snow my Spirit upon you, right where you are." I'm going to give you this last example to prove that it's real. I have heard many people growing up in church, that they found the Spirit of God on a trip going to the mountains or going to the beach. And they say, "Ooh, man, it was a great retreat, Pastor. I got Spirit filled. Hallelujah. I just pray for me that I don't go back to the way I was." And what happens always? We go back to the way we were. But you got to think about it. It's genius. I can take all of you right now. We're going to Ruidoso. Some of you are like, "Yeah, we're not going there for that." We're going to sit and we're going to talk about God for the whole week. And you know what's going to happen? God's going to move. It's going to be some awesome stuff. But you got to come back. And what's going to happen when you come back? Work, pressure, TV, the world. Cowboys didn't make it to the Super Bowl again. Right? And we get back on that routine. And you say, "Well, then I don't believe in the Spirit being filled." You ready for this one? I can prove it. Because I know people who didn't find the Spirit on the mountaintop. They didn't find the Spirit at the beach. They found the Spirit in a jail cell. They found the Spirit in their brokenness. They found their Spirit. The Spirit, when everything they tried, failed and they had nothing left. It's not about getting to a destination. It's about getting disciplined to a point where we find ourselves still. And for some of us in this room, the only time you were still is when you were locked up. And God was like, "Finally, how are you?" "Not doing very well. Actually, you're doing really good because you're not running anymore. You're not panicking anymore. You don't have to be afraid anymore. I'm here. You're here with me right now. I love you." And there's snow happening in the jail cell. There's snow happening in the brokenness. There's snow happening at the hospital. Oh, Lord, teach us to be still and to be disciplined to be in your presence. And Holy Spirit, speak to us what you will. For we will no longer listen to this world, but we will listen to the Spirit. I'm going to ask Pastor Allen to go ahead and come up. Know this, I want you to be careful, guys. I want you to be careful on your way home. I don't know what the rest of the weather. It's West Texas. It could be 80 degrees and sunny in about 20 minutes. But here's what I do know. Whether it's sunny, whether it's snowing, whether it's raining, or whether it's dry, the Spirit of the Lord will go anywhere to someone who is still before the Lord. When chaos comes, may we not panic, but may we be still in the presence of our Lord. Amen? Amen. Pastor Allen.
Stand with me. I invite you to join us in prayer. Who do we pray to? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Father God, you have heard our prayer. We love you. Master, we turn to you as our source, as our guide. We turn to you, God, for direction. God, we turn to you for correction. Would you accomplish all you have in mind? Would you, Master, be evident in our lives in such a way that the world will know? That's what your word says. That the world will know because of our love, the love we have for one another, Master, the love we demonstrate for our God and our neighbor. So today we ask that you would accomplish that you would truly rain down upon us the blessings of your Spirit. So Lord, we ask that you would bless and keep this your people. Cause your face to shine upon each of them. All of them. Be gracious, Lord, and to them. Let your countenance be upon us all. The peace of your sweet spirit be established in our homes, in our lives, Master, in our community. We come in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all. Be safe.